Chapter 17. The meeting with her steward and clerk went more horribly than Ariane could possibly have imagined. The two recalcitrant men denied any knowledge of secret ledgers and accounts until she threatened to fetch the sheriff and search their persons and their homes. Shamed and angry, they turned over 5 ledgers hidden away in a chest of the turret office and said that they had persisted in the keeping of the accounts in the manner Lord Hightower had instructed them. Ariane reminded them quite vociferously that Lord Hightower was dead, and that she was the master of the estate. While their lies and excuses she had expected, their immediate resignation and departure she had not. She sat scouring the books for the balance of the morning, but realised she needed Baron Carver's help to make sense of it all. She sent word to the Blue Fairy Inn in town to see if he could come sooner than dinner to start sorting the whole mystery out. She itched to know what the two rascals had kept from her for the last 3 years, and still had half a mind to bring the sheriff into the picture immediately, but she decided against it in case something damaging to her family's reputation was at stake. 2 messages arrived over an hour later. One from the inn stated that Mr. Harper had left early in the morning for parts unknown. The other letter was addressed to her mother, who, after reading it, continued the day's agitation by suddenly packing up and leaving at a breathtaking pace. The Lady Brighton offered no explanation and barely any goodbye, but she did leave a delighted Elaine behind. The result of all the commotion was a dull ache in the back of Ariane's head and an unsettled stomach. She felt ill at ease, her distress compounded by uncertainty. She imagined all manner of horrible scenarios involving the late Lord Caunton, from multiple mistresses to a horde of bastard children, to some draining speculation that had yet to pay any dividends. She took a walk through the grounds and gardens to allow nature its chance to distract and calm her mind. The afternoon heat was just giving way to a cool evening breeze, a smear of purple and orange tinging the edges of the clouds. The fragrant lilacs and lemon bushes settled her. She loved Hightower. Green rolling hills, gurgling streams, pleasant mornings and brilliant evenings, and all at a fair distance from the bustling of the city proper. Did she really want to give this up, to spend the rest of her life with Eutychus? The sound of hooves on the lane spurred her heart to racing again and returned the weight of the day's worry to her brow. Straightening her dress and taming a wild strand of hair, she quickly walked to the front of the manor to await the disguised Lord Carver. While the horse he rode and the clothing he wore were modest, his comfort and command on his mount betrayed a little of the nobleman astride it. As he neared, he quickly dug his useless spectacles out of his travelling bag and awkwardly affixed them to his face. Ariane shook her head. He really was terrible at disguises. After a tip of his hat, he dismounted, a servant taking the reins. She noted the Baron's relaxed face and felt a little annoyed. He had clearly spent the day enjoying himself while her stomach had been doing irritated backflips for hours. He doffed his hat and inclined his head as required by protocol. "I hope I haven't kept you waiting, Lady Hightower," he said. "I wasn't sure at what hour you customarily took dinner." He started toward the house. "You haven't missed it yet, Mr. Harper, though I have been eager to see you. I had a rather interesting morning, but I refuse to bother you with the details until you've had your fill of dinner. Have you ridden far today?"
"Quite far, yes," he said. "I rode to the Elderwood near here. I had to work the horse quite hard to get back in time, so I would be in your debt if you could inform your stableman to rub him down and give him water. I could do it myself if you feel it more appropriate. I don't wish to burden you or your household."
Ariane stopped him.
"After the way my mother treated you yesterday, your horse certainly deserves the best care we can give. I regret to inform you that my mother left earlier today."
"Did she?"
he said, a little relief sneaking into his tone. "I hope it wasn't on my account. I don't wish to be any trouble."
"Enough of that nonsense, Mr. Harper," Ariane answered. "The Countess received some urgent correspondence that pushed her out the door."
"Did your sister go with her?"
he asked. "No, and I'm sure she's anxious to hear of your adventures in the Elderwood today."
The servants opened the door for them, and Baron Carver, fake, limp and all, played his part as the commoner to the letter, which Ariane found amusing. None of the lords she knew could have acted like a commoner convincingly for 1 minute, even if they had good reason to do so. Elaine waited for them in the dining room, and Ariane nearly choked upon seeing her. She wore a beautiful red gown and had done her hair in curls and ribbons. She had apparently dressed to flirt with Baron Carver. Ariane felt plainly dressed and horribly drab by comparison.
"Hello, Mr. Harper,"
Elaine said brightly. Welcome back to Hightower.
Thank you, miss, he returned after a little bow, which forced him to push his glasses back up to the bridge of his nose.
Do you know, Mr. Harper, Elaine began as they were seated, that I think the figurine you carved for me is alive. This morning there was a dead mouse on the floor with two puncture wounds to its belly. I think your saber cat killed it.
Marianne frowned.
Elaine, really, dear.
She looked toward Baron Carver, who seemed troubled.
Let's not make up stories, and a bloody mouse is hardly a topic for the dinner table. But it's true, Ariane. Just ask Missa.
Ariane thought it best to let the subject drop. Food stifled their conversation, though Ariane ate little. While she normally would have been fascinated by Baron Carver's recounting of his day's journey, she wanted nothing more than to shove the ledgers in front of his face and force him to get to it. She noticed his eye evaluating her, and after eating quickly and refusing seconds, he asked to hear the news. She dismissed an unhappy Elaine and eagerly told him of her run-in with her clerk and steward, his face clouding over at her story. She reached out and touched his forearm without realizing what she was doing.
I know it's a bit late, Mr. Harper, but would you mind having a look?
He stood, breaking from her touch. Only then did Ariane realize his discomfort.
I'll take a look, Lady Hightower, but I warn you, this is likely something that will take a number of hours. I assure you I'll do my best. I know you have a lot at stake financially.
It's hardly the money I've missed, Mr. Harper, she said,
standing and leading him toward the drawing room. She noted that he forgot to limp until about halfway there, and even then used a different leg.
It's the uncertainty of the whole aggravating affair, and I fear there will be some damage to the reputation of Hightower as a result.
He nodded in understanding.
Just remember, Lady Hightower, that none of this was your doing. I know it would pain you to see your estate under a cloud of bad opinion, but your honour and good name you will keep, regardless of what the books may uncover. I will stand witness for you in this regard, if it comes to it.
She nodded.
Thank you, Mr. Harper. I have appreciated your calm demeanour during this mess. The ledgers are there on the desk. Are the arrangements to your liking?
He sat down.
I will be perfectly comfortable, thank you.
Ariane paced around the drawing room, biting her lip and fidgeting. Baron Carver cracked the books and with quill and paper began making notations, pausing from time to time to think. Despite her best efforts not to annoy Baron Carver with her fretting, she found herself staring at him or wandering near him to try to sneak a peek at what he was writing. She knew she was being insufferable, but Baron Carver bore it well. A soft step in the hall pulled Ariane's attention away from her worried musings. Elaine turned the corner with a glass and a decanter of wine. She beamed, looking quite fetching in her dress. Immediately Ariane felt guilty. She had been so overwhelmed with thoughts of the ledgers that she had neglected to take thought for Baron Carver's comfort. Elaine stepped forward tentatively.
Mr. Harper?
He glanced up and stood.
Hello, miss.
I brought you something to drink.
Why, thank you, miss. I was just getting a bit parched. You should really let the servants do that. No need to trouble yourself over an underclerk.
Mr. Harper, please do not imply that you are troubling us again,
Ariane said, her tone a bit more grating than she had intended.
My apologies, Lady Hightower.
Elaine frowned as she poured the drink.
Why are you scolding Mr. Harper, Ariane?
Ariane sighed. All she wanted to do was show Baron Carver the quality of her house, and his comments made it clear that she had failed.
Well, I'm afraid that we haven't treated Mr. Harper as well as we should, and so he is convinced he is a bother. He is doing us a good service, and I'm trying to break Mr. Harper of implying that he is some sort of nuisance.
Elaine grinned.
Oh, you don't want to cross Ariane, Mr. Harper. She can be severe. You should have heard the way she was yelling at the steward and the clerk this morning. Woke the neighbours, I'm sure.
Baron Carver took a drink.
I will do my best not to cross, Lady Hightower. I'm just not used to being in company with nobility, and I'm always afraid I will cause offence.
Ariane smirked at what seemed a disingenuous statement, but revised her opinion after a moment. Hadn't the Queen told her that he avoided court? And if his wife had been half the unaffectionate shrew that Ariane suspected she was, the poor man had probably spent the last few years walking softly and trying to stay out of the way. How did he remain so good-natured after so many years of neglect? Her own distant, formal relationship with her late husband had nearly driven her mad, and their marriage was at least amicable.
Are you headed to a ball or an assembly this evening, miss?
Baron Carver asked Elaine as he finished his drink.
What makes you think I'm headed out, Mr. Harper?
Elaine asked with a sly grin.
Baron Carver cleared his throat and ploughed into a ledger. I was just wondering. Well, I shall get back to it. Thank you for the refreshment.
Elaine winked and smiled at Ariane.
I will leave the wine here for you in case you need it.
Ariane shook her head. Her sister could be incorrigible, but flirting with a clerk was just unpardonable behaviour. Her mother would have carted her back to Brighton for sure if she had known what the girl had planned. Ariane thought she might send Elaine packing herself if she kept it up. She could sympathise, however. He was handsome, or would be if he would shave the beard, and had been surprisingly kind. But he was at least 10 years Elaine's senior, and too tall for her. Elaine was just about to the drawing-room door when Baron Carver looked up suddenly, face troubled, and stood. Ariane's brow furrowed.
Is everything well, Mr.?
A thunderous crack from an impact on the front door shook the house. Baron Carver sprung to a petrified Elaine and dragged her back into the drawing-room by the arm. Another crushing blow to the door and wood squealed and cracked. Servants yelled and a gunshot turned yells to screams. A harsh voice filled the hall.
Get back! Where's Lady Hightower?
Ariane's face drained of blood as Baron Carver guided her and Elaine behind a couch at the far end of the drawing-room.
Stay down, he said. Under no circumstances are you to stand up. Do you understand?
Ariane nodded. That fire she had found missing in Baron Carver earlier had returned, flashing in his eyes as he turned and walked back toward the door. In the hallway, the footsteps on the wooden floor pounded ever closer until they came inside the drawing room, the stench of sweat and beer wafting inside with the intruder.
Who are you?
The harsh voice demanded disdainfully. David Harper, under clerk to the Queen of Belshire. I believe what you want is here on the desk. Ariane peeked around the corner of the couch. She could just make out the intruder holding a rifle and concealing his nose and mouth with a dirty brown scarf. He wore the clothes of a poor outdoorsman, thick leather boots up to his knees, worn pants and dark bison hide coat. His eyes had wandered to the desk from where he stood at the entrance to the drawing room, rifle pointing at Baron Carver's chest. How could her steward stoop so low as to hire such a brute thug to retrieve the ledgers? He probably found the thief in the Horned Head, a disreputable drinking establishment in Hightower.
Where is the Lady Hightower?
The intruder barked. Why does it matter? Baron Carver answered smoothly. Take the ledgers. The man pulled the rifle's hammer back threateningly.
I hear she's a fine woman. I'd like a look at her.
He was clearly drunk. Ariane watched surreptitiously as Baron Carver collected the ledgers and walked cautiously forward.
Look, friend, he said. Don't trouble the lady. Here they are. Just take them and go.
The man raised the rifle to Baron Carver's head.
Now you stop right there. I was supposed to burn these ledgers. But if they're valuable, how about you just pay me more than the one that sent me?
Ariane smirked. And that's the problem of hiring common rabble to do sensitive work.
How much do you want?
£200,
he answered evenly.
Done, Baron Carver said. Let me call for the manservant to fetch it.
No! I want Lady Hightower to bring it to me herself.
Baron Carver opened his mouth to protest, but the robber brandished the rifle and struck him across the face. The ledgers fell to the floor as Baron Carver caught the edge of the couch to balance himself. Ariane gasped involuntarily.
Who's over there?
The intruder asked.
Stand up!
The gun swung in their direction. Ariane retreated next to Elaine, who was crying silently, her hand over her mouth to muffle her sobs.
I said stand up or I'll put a bullet over there and see if any of those couches bleed.
Ariane, fearing for the safety of Elaine, went against Baron Carver's instructions and rose. He and the gunman turned toward her. A shallow gash on Baron Carver's forehead trickled blood down his face. Baron Carver immediately put himself between her and the gun, while the ill-favoured man cocked his head and leered at her.
Pretty little thing, ain't she?
He said lustily.
Now you go on and get the money, Lady Hightower, or I'll blow this one's brains all over your little white room.
Ariane looked to Baron Carver, who nodded, keeping himself between her and the gun as she slowly walked to the door.
Get out of the way! I want to see her walk.
The man raised the gun and swung it at Baron Carver's head again, but Baron Carver leaned backwards slightly and the barrel passed to his left. Then, just as she had seen in the forest, the day of the assassination, the underclerk changed from a man of books to a lord of war. His left hand shot out and grabbed the barrel of the rifle, pushing it up toward the ceiling and away from anyone in the room. Simultaneously, he flipped up the back of his coat and with his right hand put a white dagger, the likes of which Ariane had never seen. The gun discharged, raking her nerves, as Baron Carver slashed the arm of his assailant, who cried out in pain and then dropped the weapon. Realizing his danger, the ruffian turned for the door, as Baron Carver pulled an identical dagger with his left hand.
"Stay here,"
he ordered, as he sprang forward to pursue. Ariane walked back toward Elaine, but when she heard the robber scream in agony and surprise, she ran forward into the hallway instead. The intruder lay upon the ground in front of the staircase, writhing, grabbing at his neck. Baron Carver sheathed his knives and bent down to minister to the wounded man, ordering him to stay still. Blood spurted from the robber's throat, spraying on the wall, and Baron Carver clamped down on the wound, trying to stifle the gushing. His patient's eyes shot wide with terror, face paling with every gout of blood. In the dim light of the hallway, Ariane spotted the small wooden figurine of a saber cat, lying in a crimson pool next to the writhing man, hunk of flesh still trapped in its lifeless jaws. The Lady Hightower brought her hand to her mouth, as servants emerged from their hiding places. Despite Baron Carver's fervent ministrations, the man died moments later.